You're good.
All right. The time is 10:01, and that means it's time to get started with today's April meeting of the VUCRE Commission. I'm going to start off by asking the director to take roll.
Sure. Stephen Bergeron.
Present.
Heather Veneziano. Laverne Toombs, absent. Robert Pearson, absent. Gabriel Verdura.
Present.
Vincent Weaver.
Present.
Sandra Shillstone.
Present.
We have 5 members constituting a quorum.
All right. Thank you. Next up on the agenda is a review of the minutes. Staff circulated minutes for November and December of last year. Has everyone had a chance to review those other than Ms. Shillstone? Does anyone have any comments, corrections, or questions? Are we ready to entertain a motion to adopt the minutes?
Make a motion to adopt the minutes.
Second.
All right, all in favor? Any opposed? The motion passes. We don't do abstentions here, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so Ms. Shillstone,
have been able to vote on this anyway because she wasn't a commissioner yet.
Right.
That was November and December. Yeah, so we're going to get that straight.
Okay. All right, so the motion to adopt the minutes for November and December passes.
Even though she wasn't a commissioner? She had nothing to do with this.
Okay. Well, you know,
it's
kind of a formality.
It's a formality right now, yes.
Okay. Next up on the agenda is the chair's report. I have no report today, so I'm going to hand it off to the director for his report.
Thank you very much. Just briefly wanted to let the commission know that the staff is working with the VCC Foundation to update our guidelines. We're going to do a full second edition. The current guidelines, which we know and love, are 10 years old this year. So we figured it was a good time to completely revisit them. It's not going to be a major upgrade of what is existing. So it will be basically the same guidelines updated. Over the years we found things that we've needed to tweak, things that we found that don't address quite stringently enough or adequately enough. So we're going to be making those edits, but we're also going to be adding chapters on sustainability and resilience, storm preparedness. We're going to be having some upgrades on technology and materials. So we just want to make sure that our guidelines are timely, contemporary, and are not something that is outdated. Foundation will be funding, or they'll be doing some fundraising, and then they'll be funding publishing, and the publishing of new hard copy versions of these, which we used to have, and they'll be for sale at a nominal profit so the VCC Foundation can sort of like cover its costs, but it's not going to be something that's going to be not a money maker. It's just sort of cover its costs. So we'll have a big rollout. This is something that we can get excited about. And sort of generate some interest in the neighborhood. It was the last time the guidelines came out was before my tenure, but I understand it was very, some of the neighborhood was very excited about, so we want to kind of get some good feelings in the neighborhood again about these, so stay tuned about those. Also, just to let you know that we have a new architecture committee member. Her name is Cynthia Stewart, so that gets our committee up to 3 members, which we're very excited about. We had intended to have her on the agenda today for ratification, but we did not get that on the agenda, so that's going to be, I'm going to forward her CV to you, and we will have that on the May agenda for her ratification. So she's somebody that we have known and worked with for 20-something years. It's a very wonderful addition to the committee, so something we desperately needed. We'll still be working with the AIA to be getting some more nominations for committee members. So this has sort of helped us get us over a hump, but we still would like to have additional members on the committee going forward. So stay tuned. That's all I have.
And the commission.
And the
commission. Yes.
Yes, and the commission.
All right. Thank you.
I have one announcement, Steve.
Sure.
It came to our attention that I'm bringing this to your attention now, 2 months in advance. The June meeting was supposed to be held on June 19th. City Hall is closed for Juneteenth. We are trying, we've booked this room for June 20th at 1:30. If we can get four of you to agree, then we will have the meeting at that time. I'm, you know, everyone go home, look at your schedules, and get back to us. But just wanted to give you a little advance notice.
Okay.
If not, we'll have to figure something else out.
All right. We always do.
Yes.
Commissioners, any questions for the director or the deputy director? One quick question. Any updates on Madam Johns?
Not really officially. We had a conversation. I got to put my brain around that. There was a conversation between this group, who was actually MS on Bobby Cangelosi's, Sandra Stokes and myself. We were talking about this after the Louisiana Landmarks nomination, award nominations, and one of them had a conversation with somebody from the Facility Planning and Control, and they were saying that action was taking place and that they were hoping to have the work completed in June. I am pessimistic about that. It doesn't seem like I see that much going on over there. But we're going to be reaching out more to Facility Planning and to try to get a meeting and try to understand exactly where everything is. So, and Commissioner Shilson, do you have any updates on that?
Not any more than what I had told you it was. The state seems to think they will be completed with the initial phase by June. Now, they didn't say beginning of June.
Right.
They are probably trying to do something with the variances.
Yeah, I hope so.
Because of the way the building is supported.
Okay.
Commissioner Toombs is trying to.
All right, welcome, Commissioner Toombs. Does anyone have any questions or comments on Madam Johns? Since we've touched on that. Okay. Well, then we'll move on to new business. First under new business is 640 Royal Street. I see we have an applicant, so let's have the staff report.
Sure. 636 through 640 Royal Street is a blue-rated main building with a brown-rated courtyard addition. It's a proposal to install new rooftop mechanical rack and equipment. Fabrication materials received December 5th, 2023 and March 15th, 2024, respectively. During the renovation of this property from 2018 through 2020, the previously existing mix of mechanical equipment was all removed from the property. The previously existing equipment had included three condensing units in a small courtyard and a scattering of window units. This proposed rooftop rack has been sized to accommodate all future mechanical needs of the building, although only a single condenser is being proposed for one ground floor tenant at this time. The Architecture Committee reviewed this application and approved the current proposed location and orientation of this new mechanical rack. The rack is shown at almost 36 feet wide by 10 feet deep, and set back from the front Royal Street parapet by about 13 feet 2 inches, from the side parapet 10 feet 2 inches, and from the edge of the courtyard overhang roof about 10 feet 3 inches. The screening for the rack as shown is rising only approximately 6 inches above the surrounding parapet. This lower height should eliminate any visibility from the street as well as upper levels of other buildings on Royal Street. There may still be some visibility from buildings between this one and the river, but with the rack now almost within the mass of the existing building, this has also been approved over the original proposal. The Architecture Committee moves to conceptually approve this proposal with a request that an engineer's report be submitted regarding the structuring of this rack on the roof and forward the proposal to the Commission for final approval. No engineer's report has been submitted as of the writing of this report, but staff feels comfortable reviewing that report prior to any permit issuance. Staff recommends approval of the proposal with any final details be worked out at the staff level.
All right, thank you. Applicant, please state your name, address, and relationship to the property.
John Williams. I'm the architect for the project at 640.
Dixon Jellick with Williams Architects working on the project.
All right. Do you guys have any response to the staff report?
Initially, the structural report should be forthcoming. I'm hoping it'll be out next week. We already reviewed this previously with the structural engineer to anticipate where we were column placement and beam sizing. So the report is forthcoming. And we have been to the architectural committee once before they approved it. We had it in one position. We all discussed it, turned it 90 degrees, which allowed us to lower it deeper into the pitch of the roof, which made it not visible from the street or public right of way. So we didn't, I don't know if anyone, if there's a finished photo of the courtyard recently. There's no mechanical equipment in it. There are three-sided horseshoe balconies all around the building and galleries that look really incredible. And this is our effort to restore the integrity of the courtyard all the way up to the building and place equipment on the roof. Right now, Sucre is going in the bottom, and we have the space for their equipment all the way up towards the top. And that equipment that you see there is future anticipated equipment that we have had properly engineered for volume and max use of the space below.
So basically what you have is the first, second, and third, and fourth floor. We've anticipated what the equipment needs are. This is the part of the first floor right now has a tenant that's getting built out. So they need this larger rack to put the smaller equipment for them on. But we didn't want to do a partial approval. So we worked with the staff to come up with the right rack to accommodate the future equipment that we're anticipating when we get tenants on the second, third, and fourth floor.
All right. Thank you. Commissioners, do you have any questions for the staff or the applicant?
And will there be any exterior conduits or...
No, we're going to have also one of the things for the committee asked for to finalize their details were the pitch pocket details. We intend for that to be fully within the building and come through the roof, so we're not intending.
And staff will be reviewing that. That was part of the ARC's motion, that we will know 100% where all lines are.
Yep.
So we won't have that problem. We've had it other places.
And we invite the scrutiny. This is a really important building. it's a rarity in terms of its age and how important it is, being one of the first buildings ever built in the French Quarter.
I have a quick question, just because I worked on the other two Sucres on Royal and Conti. They both have hood vents.
You nothing's being cracked here.
Okay.
Nothing.
It's just being sold. Yeah.
Just little refrigerated cases.
Yeah.
All right, commissioners, any other questions?
What's the condition of the roof that this rack is going on? Of the roof, as far as the structure of the roof and the finish of the roof now.
It's in good condition. We've renovated this building over the last 5-6 years,
mm-hmm.
Meticulously. Really poor condition, and again work with the staff to come up with the proper details to make the exterior, and then we did the interior courtyard to finish that, and now we're looking for tenants. Mm-hmm. And the first thing the tenants needed was to where to put the want the air conditioning equipment go back in that beautiful courtyard, which was stuffed with equipment.
Mm-hmm.
We then have the idea of bringing it up to this part of the room.
And just to say, the majority of the columns we place for the equipment platform goes onto a brick wall, which transfers directly down. So I think we're only installing one, maybe two beams to catch an independent column. So nothing will actually be loaded directly to the existing roof.
Okay.
Any other questions, commissioners?
Just one other. Were there structural drawings for the platform, or is that still being developed?
That is forthcoming.
Okay.
It was a requirement that staff see it by ARC. ARC made that part of their motion.
Okay.
So staff will see that.
Okay. Yeah.
Before any permit is issued.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
And the report.
Yes.
And the report.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Do we have any public comment? I see no public comment. Okay. Do we have any final questions or comments? Applicant, do you get the last word? Any final words?
No. It's been great working with the staff to come up with the right solution for this wonderful building.
All right. Commissioners, is it time to entertain a motion?
I make a motion to approve the mechanical rack with the stipulation that the engineering report and details and structural drawings be submitted to staff for review and approval.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
None opposed. Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up on the agenda under new business is 1022 Dumaine Street. I see we have an applicant, so let's have a staff report.
1022 Dumaine is a green-rated main building and service building. This is a proposal to install new mechanical equipment and platform on roof and rear service hall balcony for application materials received November 20th, 2023 and March 25th, 2024, respectively. The applicant proposes to install a rooftop platform on the rear slope of the main roof to hold three HVAC condensers. Initially, the applicant proposed a larger platform that obscured the rear dormer, which they had planned to use for rooftop access. Staff and the committee were concerned at the overall size and impact on the dormer, and the applicant returned with a smaller platform accessed by a roof hatch. The installation of the roof hatch will limit the amount of safety railing needed, also lessening the impact of the platform. The framed opening of the hatch is 2'6" by 3'. The revised platform measures 13'7" by 7'1". It went from 13'7" and 7'1" to 9'5" by 6'. The overall height is not specified. Details show it penetrating the roof in four locations, avoiding any attachment to the parapet or dormer, but do not show flashing details. The three condensers are typical in size, weight, and noise output. The design guidelines state that wherever possible, equipment should be located to be visually unobtrusive, typically on a rear slope of a roof surface or concealed behind a parapet. The installation of rooftop mechanical equipment, such as air conditioner compressor unit, generator, or similar equipment, is not permitted where it will be visibly obtrusive. Every effort should be made to shield the equipment from view and minimize associated noise. Staff visited the site and established that the platform will have no visibility from the public right-of-way. If approved, there will be limited visibility from one neighboring property and a privately owned parking area. Another adjacent property will likely have a more direct view of the equipment, but screening could be approved for the side elevations that would obscure it from all three of these locations. A fourth condenser is proposed to be located at the end of the service hall balcony to replace an existing condenser that surprisingly was approved by the BCC in 1982. The guidelines typically prohibit the installation of mechanical equipment on balconies or galleries, and it is not clear from the meeting records why this property was considered an appropriate exception at the time, but the committee did not find the proposed replacement condenser to be objectionable. The committee found the proposed equipment, platform, and roof hatch conceptually approvable, with the proviso that the platform be moved back further up the roof slope so it will not be in the same plane as the face of the dormer. Final review and approval of flashing and screening details can be handled at staff level.
All right, thank you. Applicant, please state your name, address, and relationship to the property.
Ronald Blanchard, I'm the mechanical contractor.
I'm Jerry Eames, and I'm the general contractor involved in providing the roof platform.
Thank you. Do you guys have a response to the staff report?
Only that we're revising the sketch to work with the staff to move the platform up the roof, and I will provide those details.
Excellent. Commissioners, do you have any questions for the applicant or the staff?
What's the material on the roof? Is it slate?
Slate roof, yes.
Are you replacing the slate, or are you just repairing it in the areas?
You know, we're just doing roof penetrations for the steel to penetrate the roof. We'll have lead flanges for the steel to come through, and then we just replace tiles that we
move
the slate tiles.
Okay. You said it's not connected to the dormer, or it is connected?
Well, it's next to the dormer. It doesn't touch the dormer. There's a handrail that will might attach, but that would be the only attachment.
Is it a operable dormer, or is it a foam?
It's a real dormer. Right now, it's kind of crazy. There's an actual outdoor condenser unit taking up the space inside the dormer and it vents through the shutters. It shouldn't work. It's been there for 25, 30 years, and that's our intention to get rid of that and make it function properly.
And just to clarify too, when you say the rail might attach to the dormer, that's something that we would also want to avoid, so the rail needs to be supported just by the platform.
Okay. Well, I was thinking like a flip, but I'll do that.
Commissioners, any other questions?
What's the access to get up to the dormer? Is it a ladder?
It's the roof hatch. You go inside the house, open the roof hatch, climb directly onto the deck.
Okay,
it's higher than the roof deck.
new platform.
So what will happen to the dormer once you get that unit out of there? Are you just going to?
Hopefully we'll make it, like, work again.
Put a window in it, or is it going to, or are you just going to keep the louvered shutter on it?
It's really, it's like an attic space behind it, so we might just have the shutters closed. And I don't think they need the light in that space for window sash. Like in a closet.
I'm sure you know that anything you do, you go on the outside, please be sure and add that to the permit. If you do any work on the outside of that dormer,
okay,
just make sure that that gets permitted.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you. It seems like any repair work that you would do to the dormer would be pretty straightforward and probably approvable at the staff level.
Yeah, I think so. I'll mention that in the permit. It might be paintwork is the only thing I can think of. And then if the shutter needs repair or something.
We can just add that to the permit.
All right. Do we have any public comment? I see no public comment. Commissioners, any final discussion or questions? Any final word from the applicant?
No. I'm sure that will have to be...
Yeah,
be glad to get his act and work again.
We've worked with these guys at the AC, I think, on two separate meetings. And so this is the third meeting these fellows have been to. And it's been a long road, but I think we've got something that's pretty workable. And I thank you all for your patience and for working with us on it.
I think it was a good idea not to have it in front of the dorm room. That was a great thing.
Thank you. So, commissioners, is it time to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I make a motion to conceptually approve the platform with its final location to be worked out at the staff level.
I'll second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None opposed? Motion passes. Thank you guys for your hard work. Next up, under appeals and violations, is 827 to 29 St. Peter. Do we have an applicant? I don't see an applicant. This is...
We knew this was...
Yeah, this is one that's been going on for quite some time, and so we need to proceed with this.
All right, let's hear the staff report.
Sure, 827-29 St. Peter is a green-rated building. This is an appeal to retain improperly applied stucco and previously denied thin-set mortar. Application materials received April 5th, 2023. Staff issued a permit in January 2023 for some violation corrections at this property, including sounding of the stucco and repairing where necessary as per BCC standard details. The permit also noted that the use of blast and of any kind was prohibited. Staff inspected the work in progress on March 1st, 2023 and found that a plastic or fiberglass mesh was being used in repairs of the stucco wall. Additionally, staff found that the stucco being applied was actually thin-set mortar, typically used for the installation of tile. It is unclear how this material will perform this type of application for which it is not designed. Quick research online noted that thin-set's sole purpose is to hold tiles in place on floors and walls and that it is too fragile to act as a standalone finish. That thin-set is too fragile to hold up any kind of wear and tear without cracking and crumbling. If the thin-set is retained and starts cracking and crumbling, it will lead to water intrusion into the masonry and behind the remaining thin-set and begin causing larger problems to the building itself. The Architecture Committee previously denied the retention of the stucco at the March 28th, 2023 meeting. Then an application was filed to retain stucco on the front St. Peter elevation that was finished without the previously existing scoring pattern. The applicant requested that the retention of the thin-set mortar on the side elevations also be reconsidered as part of that application. That application was denied at the October 24th, 2023 meeting. That motion also included a request for an independent structural engineer's report regarding the overall condition of the structure. An engineer's report was submitted in February 2024, and the applicant is now appealing the Architecture Committee's denial of the proposed retentions. The report summarized the observations, noting that the outside faces of the walls of both buildings were observed to be generally plumb, with no excessive deflection or other signs of structural distress. The engineer's report states that, in their opinion, the exterior masonry walls at the property are structurally sound and can be repaired satisfactorily in accordance with the provisions of the building permit issued by the BCC. Staff is pleased that the engineers found no more serious issues with the structure of the building itself. Still, the staff does not find the retention of the proposed conditions appropriate, and worries that the thin set on the sidewalls will lead to additional problems in the near future. Staff recommends that test patches of removal of the thin set mesh lath be conducted to determine the feasibility and best technique for removal. Once the inappropriate material has been satisfactorily removed, the underlying masonry should be properly repaired and repointed, and appropriate stucco applied to the walls. Regarding the scoring on the front wall, this is a typical detail for this building age and type. The scoring is clearly evident in the previous photograph of this building available to staff. Staff recommends denial of the proposed conditions.
Thank you. Noting that we have no applicant here, commissioners, do you have any questions for the staff?
Why did they do this?
Total disregard for what they were advised to do, and then total disregard for staff recommendations for the last year when you've been trying to bring this into compliance.
So this has been sitting there for a year.
Is there any other work being done on this property?
We haven't allowed them to get any permits because...
No, we did issue a permit for some stuff on the front with the dormer and kind of making sure things stay weather tight, because I think the broken windows in the dormer right now, which they have a permit to fix.
And they're even worse now. I went by the other day, actually. Mm-hmm. They have not been fixed.
What is within our power to do with contractors like this?
Unfortunately, nothing. That's what's very frustrating. We don't have the ability to sanction a contractor. The only thing that we do have is the ability to issue fines and take the property owner to administrative adjudication. That was in backwards order. But, it is very frustrating, particularly when you have somebody that is very, recalcitrant in their work. This has been a very unpleasant experience with staff, and it's unfortunate what this is doing long term to this building.
It's also unfortunate what it's done to this block and to the neighbors.
And I really what's equally frustrating is when an applicant will not heed the guidelines, not heed the permit, disregard the staff's recommendation, refuse to do anything to remediate the work, and then I'm not trying to predict the future, but likely will then appeal to City Council.
Or we'll sell the property.
Or we'll sell the property and then make it somebody else's problem. So if I may, if the commission upholds the staff report and recommendation, if there was a way for the committee, for the commission to issue a stern rebuke of this kind of work, I think it would be important for the record. And also, should this go to City Council, it would be good for the staff to be able to forward that information and that, concern to City Council.
Is that in writing? I'm happy to write.
Yeah, well, ultimately, sure. But, we will write a report once this goes to council that would include whatever motion comes from the commission. However, the commissioners individually are absolutely, welcome to...
As private citizens or as...
I'll let Tommy...
As private citizens. Okay. If you were to speak before, the commission only acts as a body. But there's nothing that prohibits you from speaking out as a private citizen before the City Council.
I will also tell you that this has been sort of held up in adjudication because the owner was going through this process. So if we can get a denial today, it will go back to adjudication and we'll be fine. So it was sort of at a standstill because the owner wanted to go through this fairly. Didn't want to show up.
Yeah, because the denial means that it goes to commission.
Then if it's denied here, then it will go full steam ahead in adjudication, and we will be able to tell the hearing officer there is no recourse with the VCC. Mm-hmm. They have to fix this, and then we'll be fine.
Wait, say that one more. So if it goes to council and they over
Well,
that's a whole other thing, separate.
Okay.
From
okay, from adjudication.
Yes.
So he's still. So whoever the owner is still on the is still in adjudication, no matter what council
they worked
out says.
You can't. They
yeah.
can't overrule the fact that they worked out a permit. And if they
okay.
wanted, if they get fined, they appeal that
to CBC.
To city council. No, that goes to CBC.
CBC.
You're right.
Okay.
And I mean, do keep in mind that. There was originally a permit issued, but we stopped. We saw that they were doing it correctly and stopped them a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still.
And there's no way to defer this to try to reach out to the owner.
This owner.
Oh, we've been doing that for over a year.
This has been why it's taken so long.
Okay.
Because they have consistently said, they just don't show up. And they don't
want
to
do it.
What about the other homeowners or individuals that live in the area? Have they expressed any concerns regarding the condition of this property? Because I'm just kind of piggybacking on what you were saying in regards to if they go to the city council, it seems to me that if they had more of a voice where residents there that see this structure, that they would have some concerns. I'm just curious to know if anybody has brought this to you all's attention or...
I don't know personally, Commissioner Toombs. Unfortunately, the inspector is not here, and she's been dealing very closely with this property and the neighbors, so I don't want to speak out of turn.
We can ask her.
Because I guess it makes, even though
terrible.
We... Commissioners here can send that stern message. Obviously, they have no regard since they're not here. This is a situation that has been that you all have been handling for some time. But I believe that if we can find out from the inspector if there's been any other concerns that have been expressed, that may be beneficial for that owner to do what they need to do.
Is this the first time this
is
coming to
commission?
Okay, but it's been to ARC how many times?
I think just the three times.
So it went to ARC three. ARC has seen it three times. You guys have only seen it
and
once.
The owner never did
show
attend
up for
the meeting.
A single meeting.
Right.
And his owner lives here in New Orleans?
California.
Yes. Oh, California.
Oh, okay.
Is this going to be the worst? No. That's a whole other one.
So the owner is out of town, but we have seen that they have sent a representative.
A contractor.
And
trust me, we have been in contact with the owner.
And
numerous emails, phone calls.
That individual did represent himself as, I guess, kind of a general contractor who was overseeing the work, but this snuck by him. It got by him. And he didn't realize until it was too late. And I think it was... at least suggested that the owner was an individual who wasn't very savvy and didn't know the rules and regulations or how to take care of an historic property like this and didn't have a lot of resources to do that. If they were here, they could speak to a hardship, but they're not here. So that's the tough position we're in.
But this is a tough position that's been created by this individual.
Yeah.
So, I hate to play hardball here. However, if you understood the degree that the staff has, worked with this homeowner, this is not something where the staff is coming to you in a very sympathetic posture. It's been exactly the opposite, where this individual has really, and I don't like to take this position, but I feel like we've been sort of played, and I don't feel comfortable in encouraging that direction in this position.
Certainly, if they can't be bothered to show up to the meeting, then we can't really entertain a hardship. I just thought that I'd share that with the rest of y'all, that's why it's been to ARC three times. We deferred it twice and then finally denied it. So we've been trying to work with this individual and in good faith, and So this is the fourth meeting we're talking about it.
I mean, to be clear, we put the stop work order when they were in process of installing the thin set border. They could have removed, they could have, like, that day done something. But here we are a year later.
And it's now cured for a year, so
yeah.
Probably it's unlikely it could be removed, and it'll just deteriorate in a very unsightly way and create all kinds of water intrusion issues and just further damage the building. So, you know, it isn't like we discovered something after it was, you know, and that happens too, and people do things that are incorrect in good faith, and so this is not one of those cases, unfortunately.
Is the building currently occupied? Is anyone living there?
Front building and back building.
The stop work order happened part of the way through, so was the job finished using, it was just painted then?
They were in the process of installing it, maybe.
On the side elevation.
Yeah, right. Half the wall, three-fourths of the wall.
So is this the way the building looks now?
Yes.
So the current condition of the wall,
this all started because there was a violation on this property. They came to us, they got permits to do work, and then just completely off the rails.
Could have fixed well.
Yeah, so it could have been, I mean, we're at a year now.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is not...
But our permits explicitly state...
No.
What exactly the stucco material should be, the specifications, that no lap is to be used. I mean, it couldn't be more clear.
Do they know if did the GC try to save money on his end to install this because the owner wasn't here, or was it vice versa? The owner gave him direction and said, hey, put the cheapest thing you can find up.
Do you know what
the claim was? Is there were guys working on this before the GC, like, even got on site. So I don't know if the homeowner hired us some guys to start, and then he got involved, but he claimed that, you know, once he showed up, this was kind of already underway, that he was...
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out if they, you know, them being out of town, they pay some guys to say, hey, can you stucco this? And they're like, hell, the owner's not
here,
so...
They just use something left over,
yeah.
Yeah,
let's get the cheapest thing. He's paying us $10,000. We can do this for $2,000.
I mean, who knows?
Yeah, you know, that kind of goes to the hardship of, did he even know that they were installing this, or something
and,
found
you know,
out?
And I think, let's say that scenario is correct. This would be, you know, and the homeowner gets fined. Well, this property owner is ultimately responsible to make sure that their contractor is on site doing the work that's permitted, and she should take the contractor to task. You know, I feel sorry for the contractor that work was done outside of his purview, but... If he's taking the responsibility for an out-of-town property owner to take care of the job, he should have immediately, when he got the stop work order, ripped the stuff off the wall and, you know, made sure that they were then in compliance. So, you know.
There hasn't been a lot of accountability.
Yeah.
And again, three times to ARC.
So what is it that you're asking the commissioners to do?
Well, we're asking the commissioners to deny the retention of this. And... Because, and I admit that I'm speculating here, I'm speculating that this applicant will appeal this to the city council. So I'm just, in anticipation of that, asking that the commission, you know, issue a strong rebuke of this sort of behavior, that, you know, that VCC permits must be rigorously followed, and that when the VCC permits are not followed, then the buildings in the French Quarter are in grave danger of being, you know, damaged or permanently altered, and that the VCC guidelines need to be upheld, and that the City Council should respect the work that the Bucharest Commission, meaning this body, does in upholding the guidelines that were approved by City Council itself.
As part of the appeal process, is it mandatory that a representative for the owner appear?
No.
Okay.
So, I would...
Before council?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They don't have to appear?
No.
Okay.
And they rarely do. So, I mean, typically, we like to hope that the council member has met with them and discussed the situation with them, but I don't have any information to control over. We have the BCC staff typically does have lots of conversations with the council member and their staff, and then I will present a report. And I would include whatever the information is from the commission as part of our report.
Okay, any other questions, comments? Do we have any public comment? I see no public comment. I would advise the council not to undermine the authority of this commission that works really hard to be fair to everyone and to uphold guidelines that are published and have been published for a real long time. So long that they were published before Brian was here.
I was old when I got here.
So.
I have one more question. Do y'all have any examples of a thin set application that has turned out poorly? As an example, as a case study.
We could probably find something.
Thin sets usually use from interior.
Yeah.
We can find some examples of poorly laid, I mean, basically just go to Lafitte's Blacksmith
Shop. I was about
to
say that.
And see where the backs of chairs have dug a horizontal line.
And the lath is showing.
And that would be something that we can present showing them how this is not intended to go on.
Yeah, because for us, because we're in the world of preservation, we understand the implications of it, but when you're talking to the lay people and maybe even council, they just hear something really technical.
Sure.
And they're
Absolutely.
Like, okay, so we don't sound this as an issue, but if they see an example of something that's highly deteriorated, especially in the French Quarter, it may help the case.
And we really do try to work with the council members and their staff, because we understand exactly what you're saying, that this is stuff that we work with every day. Mm-hmm. And for most people, plaster is plaster, and a window is a window, and
right.
all that. And so, you know, the visual is very important, so you're exactly correct. It would be very important to be able to show them the difference in what we're talking about.
Does staff have a relationship with anyone at the National Center for Preservation Technology?
We used to. Did we still?
Yeah.
The same
still
person? Yeah. Oh, she's still there? Okay.
Seems like maybe they could weigh in with a letter.
Sure.
They could also add some weight.
Sure, good idea.
They're the experts on all this stuff. All right, so no applicant here. Are we ready to entertain a motion?
I'm going to make a motion for the denial of proposed retention of the lath has been set in order. With the applicant performing the work as per BCC standard details as was previously permitted.
All right, do we have a second?
A second.
Any discussion on that?
Yes.
Okay.
In regards, did I hear you mention anything regarding a strong message to the... I didn't hear that. Did I hear it on this?
I did not include one, but I usually don't do strong messages, so it's hard for me to do a strong... I think
can
speaking is somebody that...
But technically, we wouldn't want you as commissioners to
well,
have
this
a strong...
Well, this is the... this motion...
Oh, you mean the individual letters? Okay.
So it doesn't have to be in the
Well, it
motion.
Should be. I mean, what you could do is you could just include the words that Commissioner Bergeron stated before the motion, and we can incorporate that together.
What words were those? The council?
About how working with the guidelines and all that.
That this commission works really hard to be fair to everyone and that we don't take these appeals lightly and that we want very much to work with people. However, we have published guidelines and we must also take care of the precious resources we've been left with.
I would suggest that you have an amendment to the motion authorizing staff to take your message and include it in the official the official motion.
I have a question. Sometimes the committee will make recommendations to the commission, or the commission will forward recommendations to city planning or to safety and permits. Could the commission forward a negative recommendation to city council if an appeal is done?
I think that's what you're planning trying to do here.
That's what the motion
yes,
is.
Yes, as part of the denial.
But like actually say
but,
forward
but
a
for
negative.
For the denial to also include a negative recommendation.
I think the denial is a negative recommendation.
Yeah.
I think the point is to have staff include a summary of the chairman's comments as part of the official motion.
So let's start.
The motion has died.
Yes. Motion
yeah, let's start over.
So in regards to the motion, she had a motion, so we're going to amend it. But then I also heard you say in regards to the chairman's comments as well. So will it specify in the motion? I guess we're at this point, it really doesn't matter. I mean, because I want to add some other language in there as well.
But
it's just a collective.
Right. Could we collectively work to draft a motion collectively and then have one member make that motion?
Yes.
It seems like that way, everybody's input into the motion.
Yeah, because I would like...
Why don't we take your motion and amend it with what Commissioner Toombs and Commissioner Bergeron would like to add?
Yeah, I think that's perfect.
Do you want me to read it back so that you know? Commissioner Veneziano's...
Yes.
Recommendation. Motion was denial with applicant to perform work with VCC details as previously permitted.
Okay. And then okay. So amended.
And would you like to make an amendment?
Yes, I'd like to amend the motion to include the chairman's comment as well as Commissioner Toombs' comment. I would like to add the component regarding the city council in there as well in regards to the policies and processes that they have in place for all citizens to comply.
Right.
All
is
right.
Is that through an ordinance?
I'm sorry?
Is that through that policy and process? Is that an ordinance? Is that through an ordinance?
Well, so you're meaning city council's policies?
Correct.
I assume that their ability, you mean their ability to overturn the...
Is that process within an ordinance that was passed by the council in regards to how you regulate the processes and repairs?
You're saying because our guidelines are what we base our decisions on, and those guidelines were ratified by City Council.
Through an ordinance. Okay.
Correct.
So I would like to have that language in the...
Great. Can you...
I have no idea where we landed on that one. I'm going to have to go back and listen.
Is everyone else clear on that? I think Ms.
Mm-hmm.
Toombs was just asking that we add further language to clarify that the City Council has ratified our guidelines and we recommend they uphold them.
Exactly.
Through the application
of their guidelines in this case.
They were ratified through an ordinance.
Yes.
And the reason I say that is because as a former administrator, sometimes people take heed when they hear that it was through a form of an ordinance, which means that it's law,
right.
Even though that it can be amended, but it does speak volumes.
And what we'll ask is if our legal counsel could find that ordinance number when they ratified our guidelines, we'll include that ordinance number in the motion as well. That'd be super helpful. Mm-hmm. We'll be in right set.
Yes,
okay, so we have a motion that has been seconded.
That was amended. Do you accept the amendment?
Yeah.
Yes. Now we're ready for a second.
Okay. All in favor of the motion as amended?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes.
Thank you.
All right.
That was a lot. Thank you.
Thank you all. The next one under appeals and violations is 1118 Burgundy. I see we have an applicant, so let's have the staff report.
1118 Burgundy is a green rated main building on the service buildings. This is an appeal to retain work without permit violations for metal pot flashing and loggia soffit installed without benefit of ECC review and approval. Her application and materials are received September 26, 2023 and March 19, 2024. On January 31st, 2024, the commission reviewed an appeal to retain the metal pot flashing and unusual loggia soffit modifications. After some discussion, the commission moved to defer the appeal with the applicant to seek a roof inspection to evaluate the conditions and return to the committee for review and discussion based on architectural merit. The applicant has submitted reports as follows. For the roof, the commission was concerned about the potential use of dissimilar metals, but also discussed potentially allowing a limited amount of time to address the pot flashing if conditions were found to be sound. The report states the roof consists of a natural slate roof that was found to be in good overall condition, however, was in need of some maintenance and repairs. Some cracks, slipped, and missing slates were noted. All damaged and missing slates should be repaired by a qualified slate roofing contractor using slates of like kind and color. The flashings consisted of mostly copper flashings and a few galvanized. There were a few small areas where copper and galvanized flashings were in contact. However, no corrosion was noted at time of inspection. Staff found the contact between copper and galvanized flashing to be problematic as it often leads to the complete rust out of galvanized materials in less than 5 years. Staff recommended dissimilar flashings should be replaced as soon as possible, along with any missing or cracked slate as noted in the report. Additionally, photographs from the roof inspection show a missing chimney cap at the rear service building. They should also be repaired appropriately per typical details. The applicant has agreed to perform these repairs, including replacement of dissimilar flashing materials. Staff notes that the cap flashing itself is not mentioned in the report. Assuming the cap is in good condition at this time, staff recommended that the committee forward a recommendation of denial to retain the cap, with enforcement of the denial to be delayed until the metal caps either reach the end of their useful life or within whatever time frame the commission deems appropriate, which is typically a period not to exceed 5 years. For the rear soffit, the report explained that the enclosed space above the rear patio steps down and is framed below the second floor of the cottage. Staff noted that the massing of this building is very unusual, and the 1876 and 1896 Sanborn maps show even stranger conditions. There appears to have been a catwalk leading to a roof over the patio, with a 1.5 story addition being added later. Given these unique conditions, staff proposed that the soffit be left alone, suggesting the committee forward a recommendation to the commission to approve retention.
All right, thank you. Applicant, please state your name, address, relationship to property.
Kirsten Smith. I'm with Carol Bates, the architect.
Do you have a response to the staff report?
It's my understanding that we're just here to confirm the acceptance of the staff report. And we agree with the recommendation.
Okay. Commissioners, any questions for the applicant or the staff?
What's the plan with the, I think I've only seen this, this is the built down like soffit in the back patio area?
So the soffit, the loggia soffit predates the ownership by this client, so this work is not new. I don't know when exactly it was completed, but it was in existence when the property was purchased.
So is this something that you all plan to keep, or is it
to keep it?
Yeah, and we're okay with it because of the Sanborn maps showing that there was something there.
Yeah, it's so unusual, and it's one of those conditions where we can leave well enough alone for now. Eventually, the soffit will require replacement when those boards are taken down. We get a better look at what those conditions are and decide at a later date. You know, all of that would require BCC review and approval at the time. We can reevaluate, but for right now, we kind of want to just not open a can of worms that is kind of unique.
Understood.
So then if there needs to be some renovation of the soffit and all those boards come off, does the owner have the ability to put it back on the same way, or is that the moment that VCC needs to go back and look at what exactly is happening?
Anytime that we are presented with new information, we can, review that at the time. So if we looked at it and said, you know what, this was the right call initially, we could go back with the same thing. But if staff looked at it and said, for whatever reason, this is a concern or not approvable for the guidelines, you know, in any way, or that this is kind of complicated and unique, so committee reviews required, the committee could then evaluate it as well before any permits would be issued.
And that's a real important point about having new information, because when we get new information about things that are even permitted or, you know, approved by commission, that does not override the ability of the staff to make a change. So we're basically making a recommendation on the information we have today, mm-hmm. but when this needs to be reconstructed, those exterior face comes off, we then understand the structure, understand what's underneath, and we get new information that would negate perhaps this recommendation, because then we would say this doesn't make sense, you'll have to do X, Y, and Z. So you don't even need to include that in a motion.
Okay.
The fact that if we got new information that said otherwise, that's already established, but we can require them to do something different.
I think it'd be helpful to look at like a point of view that's a little bit further away to understand that this is, it's not really like there was a socket that was constructed in an odd way. It's just the underside of a floor that is existing, and then it follows the slope of the roof. But when you're up close and looking at it, it seems like there might not be an explanation. But from here, you can see, like the vertical face of the enclosed area that was shown earlier, and then the part that's sloping down is just following the slope of the roof there, which the fascia is lower than the doors. So there, I think the reason why it slopes up, I think, because that's not part of this construction. But if it were flat all the way across, it would be lower than the head of the door behind it.
And I think the possibility of a former catwalk to the right makes sense, because that's where the soffit then comes down and is flat. So it's sort of representing its history.
See how we're moving the out there in the kitchen, and then we're moving the fan, replacing the fan out there as well.
Yes, so all of that we've discussed with the staff, and we're not appealing any of those items.
Is the kitchen, is that attached onto one of those columns?
That is being demolished. That was not approved, and that's being taken down.
Right, but I guess my question, is that attached to one of those columns?
Yes. No. It's attached. It's in between. Do you see how it's in between the buildings?
Yes.
You see that part sticking out in between the two buildings?
Gotcha.
That's the kitchen. Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Sorry, I took it out since that was...
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's actually... It was built in between the two.
Gotcha.
But built in correctly, so they're taking it.
Any other questions for the staff or the applicant? Do we have any public comment? No public comment. Any final discussion? Any final word from the applicant?
I just have a question just to confirm that this is the final meeting on this. okay. Because I'm not a regular here. I just want to make sure I'm communicating that correctly.
Yeah. So just for the commissioner's information, this has come to the architecture committee at least 2 times, maybe, and of course, before that with other ownership and other applicants and other issues. But we have worked with the applicant to, I think, come to a workable solution that they've agreed to make some changes, and we've agreed to defer action on some of this stuff.
And staff has really worked with the applicant on a number of issues.
Applicant.
And just the question of if the recommendation is to deny the metal cap flashing with some timeline on it, that needs to be discussed, I guess. I don't want it to go to the motion. There's no more discussion of that.
Right, yeah. There needs to be a timeline on it. If y'all would like to discuss that, we can. Or
I mean, it looks like staff is recommending a 5-year...
For the lifetime.
And staff, do you remember what the applicant said about that timeline at our last meeting?
We can go back and check the record.
You don't have to.
I don't have the notes on me. They were agreeable to a fixed, you know, either the life of the cap or a fixed timeline, whichever is sooner. It's also my understanding that the property is for sale, so this would end up being the responsibility of a future property owner, and hopefully they check the public record and realize that this is something that's going to be their responsibility when they take on ownership.
Yeah.
We had requested a 10-year timeline for the metal cap.
Okay.
The way we usually do it is the life of the cap or the roof. Yeah. You've seen these before come.
Yeah, I've not seen us put both of those restrictions on it, like the lifetime of the material and a timeline.
I think we've done either 5 years or life of the cap, whichever sooner.
Okay.
And sometimes we've even gone less than 5 years, just kind of depending on the age of it and if there were any concerns about.
If I can make a recommendation, I think just, and this is up for discussion, that if this is a property that is for sale, I think it would be wise to have a time cap, because that's something that we can mark on our calendar to where our inspector is required to then, you know, when this comes out, they go inspect it, and it's required to be changed. So it's the list bank.
I was a little confused. So she's representing the current owners?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so the property is going to be up for sale.
It is currently up for sale.
It's currently up for sale. Sorry?
It's my understanding that it was briefly listed and then taken off. It's not currently for sale. If it has any merit or not. But I'm not involved with
it. But it would, right?
What? Well, the responsibility would still go with the... If there would be a sale, the new owner would be responsible to change the cap flashing out at the time that this is required. So my recommendation would be to have a finite number of years that it can be retained and after which it needs to be replaced.
Which would then be communicated to the possible new owner.
Hopefully, but that's their responsibility and their due diligence to understand, you know, what these sort of are, you know, what it is that they're purchasing. It's not something that we have the ability to...
No, I understand, but I guess the reason I asked that question because it may come back to us again.
You may. Yes. At least that way we know it's documented, you know, this was in the record when they purchased the building, et cetera. So
for purpose of clarity in regards to her question that she asked, this is her last meeting.
Right.
I just want to make sure that is the fact, that she won't have to come to us again.
Not under this permit.
Okay.
No.
Just for clarity.
Fingers crossed.
I just didn't want to know if we should put that as concrete.
As part of this permit, if the commission acts to approve or deny, this would be the last meeting that you need to attend.
Right. And I think we're just asking for there to be resolution.
Sure.
Is there a number or number of years, you know, just to have that resolved today.
Okay.
Just
5 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is the motion just regarding the cap, or are we
dimensioning
the soffit?
And the soffit.
I'm recommending denial of the cap and approval of the soffit.
Is the cap flashing integrated or tied into the roofing at all, or is it a standalone, and how long of a stretch is it?
So usually we don't have a detail of it, but usually there will still be some degree of counter flashing under the metal cap.
Mm-hmm.
When we have these situations with a metal cap over the parapet, we do have standard details for how that counter flashing can then be integrated into a mortar cap.
But since this was installed about
we don't know. Yeah.
And then removing the cap, whenever that is going to require, not a permit, but removing a good number of those slate shingles as well.
Well, it may not.
No.
Right? You can remove the cap and leave the L flashing.
Yeah, usually. It's going to kind of depend on the condition of the slate, how well the work is performed.
And what happens after the cap, when the cap comes off, is also going to depend on what's under the cap. We have no idea what they did under there.
Which is part of the reason why the caps are concerning.
Mm-hmm. I've seen people pull them off and impair if it is in horrible condition, or it's covered in roofing cement that we can't do a mortar cap on top of, or whatever. So.
Another example of folks should follow.
I would like to point out that the metal cap also predates ownership by this client. So they're agreeing to correct work that they inherited with the first person. In addition to the other things.
Well, they likely won't be the ones to correct it in 5 years if it's for sale.
Yeah, right.
Well, we are agreeing, maybe I shouldn't now, but we are agreeing to replace some of the metal flashing that is similar metal.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So. Which is on the rear.
Anything else, commissioners? Any other discussion? Is it time for a motion?
I'll make the motion to approve the retention of the soffit for its lifespan, and then a denial to retain the cap, with the enforcement of the denial to be delayed until the metal cap either reach the end of its lifespan or within a 5-year time period. Whatever comes first.
All right. Okay, we have a motion, and it's been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None opposed. The motion passes. Thank you for coming in. That brings us to the end of our agenda.
Ratification?
Yes. What is left is ratification of architectural planning staff actions since our last meeting. Was that circulated?
That actually was not.
Okay.
I had to do that before Christmas last night. Sorry. I apologize.
All right. So do we need a motion to defer that?
Yes.
Okay. Can we get a motion to defer ratification?
So moved. Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. And unopposed? That brings us to the end of our agenda. The time is 11:08. Do we have a motion to adjourn? All in favor?
Aye.
All right, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you. Gabriel, will you press this?